You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking New York Yankees baseball here at the winter meetings outside of Washington, D.C. Tim McMaster along with our Yankees reporter Brian Hoke. And the big news here on Tuesday at the winter meetings, obviously Chris Sale heading to the Boston Red Sox. Obviously, it's a shot across the bow of the entire American League East. How do the Yankees, I guess when you approach this, how have they fared against Chris Sale in the past? And when something like this happens, how does Brian Cashman generally react? Yeah.
About as well as everybody else has fared against Chris Sale. I mean, that's a tough customer. Now you're going to have to go into Fenway Park and have to face that. And the Yankees had trouble with left-handed pitching last year anyway. So that's part of the reason they went out and got Matt Holliday to try and balance out their lineup. But hey, Chris Sale is a force. They're going to have to reckon with it. They're no stranger to going up against tough pitching in that division anyway. I mean, they've handled guys like David Price in the past pretty well. So you see what happens maybe, but no, Sale has been a tough customer for them. It clearly is something they're going to have to contend with. And as far as Cashman goes, look, the Yankees would love to get starting pitching. They probably had the prospects to try and pursue a Sale deal, but Cashman said that's the kind of move that a team makes if they're one piece away. And he just didn't see the 2017 Yankees as being one piece away. I know the fans probably don't want to hear that, but the Yankees passed on Chris Sale. They never got involved with him, and now he's in Boston.
The Yankees just got all this. They just got to the point where it's like, hey, our system is loaded. I feel like maybe you want to hold on to that for a little bit and have that system before you just start giving it away as well. The Yankees haven't been quiet, though, here at the winter meetings. Made some moves before it even officially started. Matt Holliday heading to the Yankees. Maybe the cheaper alternative to Edwin Encarnacion for less years, obviously, as well. But a great clubhouse guy. And I talked to Mike Petriello of MLB.com. He loves him as a bounce-back guy after a tough 2016.
Yeah, and I think the term was a big deal for the Yankees. You get him on a one-year deal. It's $13 million, but it doesn't hurt them long-term. And for guys like Encarnacion, you were going to have to go 4 or 5 years. And really, the Yankees have just cleared a bunch of those DHs off their roster. Alex Rodriguez, they released him last year. Mark Teixeira is retired. So, I mean, they're just getting out from under that. To go back and add another DH who could play a little first base, I mean, Encarnacion's a heck of a hitter, and the Yankees acknowledge that. But they think they can fill in with Holliday. He's going to give them some offense. And really now that gives them a lot of funds to focus on the pitching side, where, as you know, they're interested in Aroldis Chapman, and that might take $100 million to get done. So we'll see about that.
Yeah, let's get into that, because Mark Melancon kind of set the bar, and we knew he was going to be the guy who got the least money of the big three. He gets 4 years and $62 million. And I think the important thing that comes out of that isn't the total, because you knew he'd get less years, but it's the per year, and you're looking at $15.5 million per year. So suddenly you say Jansen and Chapman are going to get somewhere between that and who knows, maybe 20,
sure,
the sky's the limit. Immediately you're thinking 80, 85 million,
right,
which eliminates a lot of teams. It does not eliminate the New York Yankees.
Yeah, they haven't blushed at that. I think that they're involved up to a certain extent. I think that if it's around 5 and 80, I think the Yankees are very much in play. If it winds up being 6 and 100, I mean, it's the length. Do you really want to commit 6 years to a closer? And Chapman's great. There's a reason that they're pursuing him. There's a reason they want him back. But you have to look 5-6 years down the line, and you're going to be paying this guy $20 million a year, or 15, 18, something like that. You got to kind of hesitate there. So I don't know if Chapman's going to get 6 years, but you got to ask to get it. So he's in free agency. Why not ask over the moon and see what you get? But I think that the Yankees have made no secret about it. They really would like Chapman back, but there's a reason they've also continued talking to guys like Kenley Jansen as well.
There has to be concern about the fact that, hey, we don't know how unhittable Aroldis Chapman is if he's throwing 98 every night and not 101, 102.
Still pretty good. I'm not stepping in against him.
No, absolutely not. But in 6 years, he's not going to be throwing 100 miles an hour.
Maybe
I would,
not.
Well,
I mean, you know what? The thing about Chapman is he is probably one of the best pure athletes I've ever been around in a clubhouse. And I think that all his teammates with the Yankees just raved about him. He was one of the fastest guys on the Yankees, too. I mean, this guy is just – he's a freak. You don't throw 103. I mean, I think that if you lined him up in the outfield and he raced Brett Gardner and Jacoby Ellsbury, I think that Chapman wins that race. So, I mean, he is just – and he's built like a wide receiver. I mean, this is a good investment, I think. You're not going to get a guy who's not working hard, put it that way. I think that if anybody can hold up over 6 years and still throw 100 miles an hour, I mean, nobody's doing that. So why couldn't Chapman do that?
He pitched in New York. We saw what he can do in New York. How big a factor is that as far as the Yankees preferring Chapman over Jansen?
I think it certainly helps in his favor. I think you've gotten a sneak peek of it. They bought low on him. They knew that there were problems with the off-field stuff. He handled that well. He was a good teammate. I think that the perception outside the organization was different than what they had coming in. So I think that they came away with positive reviews, and the fact that Chapman said he enjoyed his time and would like to come back, I think that's just a plus too. But as with all things, it's going to come down to the money.
They need starting pitching as well. That's not out there. I mean, Chris Sale was out there, and for a moment, Rich Hill was out there, but it always seemed like he was heading back to Los Angeles. So who are the types of pitchers that the Yankees can get involved with as far as adding to that rotation?
Yeah, well, the drop-off from Rich Hill, it's pretty steep. Yeah. So there was talk about Jason Hamill, and I guess a guy like that could come in. I mean, really what the Yankees need is a solid number three. You've got CeCe Sabathia, Michael Pineda, and Masahiro Tanaka. Those are your locks. And then after that, they're going to probably have five or six guys competing for the last two spots. And they could go with that in spring training, but I think that Brian Cashman would really like to plug in a proven, solid veteran guy. There was talk about maybe a trade with the Nationals for Gio Gonzalez. That was a rumor going around the lobby. I don't know if that's going to go anywhere. It got shot down pretty quickly. But, hey, you know, it is the season for rumors. So I think the Yankees are certainly going to look for somebody solid they can plug in. But Brian Cashman said yesterday it's less likely they get a starting pitcher than an elite reliever. So I think that he's focusing on the bullpen area. And if the starting pitching should come to him, then they're prepared to make a strike there.
And the Nationals trading Gio Gonzalez probably was a lot more likely when they thought they might have Chris Sale. Now, he seems a little more important into their plans without Chris Sale. Interesting move by the Yankees last Friday at a non-tender players. Jacob Lindgren. There's a guy, second-round pick. They knew he'd be a quick-to-the-big-leagues guy, and he was, but then the injury struck. He has plenty of control, but they decided this was the time to let him go. Obviously, 2017 would have been a wash as he gets ready to return and kind of rehab. But were you surprised at all that they kind of pulled the plug on Jacob Lindgren?
I've been surprised about everything with Lindgren. I think that he was the first player from that draft class to make it to the big leagues. He shot through the farm system. They called him the strikeout factory for good reason. I thought he was going to make the team last year, and he wound up being one of the first cuts in spring training. He just couldn't throw strikes. So, and then obviously he had the surgery. But I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. And I think the Yankees thought he was going to be able to slip through, and because of the fact that he was going to miss all of 2017, they would be able to re-sign him to a minor league deal. They've done that with guys in the past, but the Braves saw the talent there. They jumped on it, and good for them, I think. I think that Lindgren is probably going to come back and be a major league pitcher, and he might be a good one too. So, you know, there's a long history of guys coming back from that surgery with no problems. So I think that the Braves might have stolen one there from under the Yankees.
Finally, an announcement here on Tuesday. Derek Jeter going to have number two retired at Yankee Stadium. We knew it was coming.
Finally.
Eventually. Yeah. It's going to be Mother's Day 2017, May 14th. And I think that's it for single digits, right,
that's
as far
it.
As the Yankees go, which is amazing.
Right.
But what's that day going to be like in the Bronx?
Oh, I think it's going to be a celebration. I mean, Derek's come back a couple times for celebration of the 1996 team. He was there for some of the teammates, the other guys in the core four, Posada, Pettit, Bernie Williams, who really belongs in core five.
Core five.
Yeah. So he's been back to the stadium a few times, but I think to have Derek Jeter Day at Yankee Stadium, I mean, you always see the clips on the scoreboard of not just Lou Gehrig, but Mickey Mantle Day. I mean, that's what it's going to be like. Joe DiMaggio Day. I mean, he is this generation's Joe DiMaggio. So I think that it's going to be a sellout crowd. Hopefully they get good weather. I think that number two, obviously, it's not a surprise that nobody's going to wear that number again, but it's a nice, fitting farewell. He obviously had that huge farewell season, but we get to say goodbye one more time to Derek Jeter, and what a great career, really. So, yeah, he deserves every accolade that's come his way, and certainly it was a pleasure to cover him, and it'll be a pleasure to be there on May 14th.
This has been MLB.com Extras, our Yankees Winter Meetings edition. For Brian Hoke, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.